Welcome to part two of our interview with Steve Fennell of Sanford Winery.
You're making a lot of wines. You make several Chards from what I've seen, and you make several Pinot Noirs.
Exactly.
And they vary at the price point, which is a nice thing because it gives your buyers options. Tell me a little bit about your wines, if you
will. Yeah, absolutely. So we absolutely focus on Chardonnay and Pinot Noir because the climate and the soils we have, I mean, it's like being in the heart of Burgundy. I mean, it just those are the two varieties that thrive. And in a very unique way with the soils and the cool climate we have. That said, the vineyards throughout the vineyard, were planted to different parcels, different blocks, and they're not all the same. Soils vary across. We've got six different soil types throughout the vineyard, so the flavors, the structure of the wines vary place to place in the vineyard. So, we see differences regardless. Even if we were trying to make the same wines, we would have, different wines throughout, unless we just put them all together in one giant blend, which we choose not to do. So we have something, from the Santa Rita Hills, which is a blend of these two vineyards, both in Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And I think they're both great representations of the appellation. They're not so much site-specific. They are in the sense that, they're blends of these two vineyards right in the heart of the Appalachian, but they're from multiple blocks, and I think what you're seeing is really more, the differences or the significant characteristics of the Santa Rita Hills. And then we have single vineyard wines, Chardonnay from La Rinconada, Pinot Noir from La Rinconada, and a Pinot Noir from Sanford and Benedict. And the two vineyards that are literally adjacent to each other, Rinconada and Sanford and Benedict, make very remarkably different wines year in and year out. And they're crafted almost identically. So we're really seeing, the difference in soil, terroir.
I'm getting the impression, is everything estate?
We have another line called Florida Campo by Sanford that's a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir. That is not 100% estate. It's a combination of estate fruit and purchase fruit. Very varietal, very intense, all cool climate, but is definitely more of a Santa Barbara County in the case of the Chardonnay, Central Coast in the case of the Pinot Noir. All the vineyards are coastal, cool climate, but the soils vary and they're a little bit lighter in general. So they tend to be sort of bright fruit focused, but still really nice acidity and very, very varietal.
And you also make a rosé as well, correct?
We do a rosé of Pinot Noir, absolutely.
You have to with Pinot.
Yeah, we do. It's just a beautiful wine and bone dry, lots of fruit, but also has this nice kind of mineral character that we see in Chardonnay and Pinot Noir on both ranches. That was actually the wine that they tasted in Sideways in the first scene of the movie.
Really?
Vingris of Pinot Noir.
It's really great to hear that for one reason, because every time I see that scene, and I've only watched the movie 700-800 times, it obviously is a rosé, but it's funny because you get the impression he's talking about a white, especially when he's talking about holding it up and all that. I'm like, it kind of frustrates me when I see that scene, but that's very cool to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some amazing – and did we see the label? I don't think we did we, Ned?
Ah, boy. I don't recall if the label is seen, but that's actually one of the only ones the winery is mentioned by name. In fact, beautiful thing, even mentions the winery when they get off of Highway 101 and the drive.
That's right.
And they mention the Santa Rosa Road exit, and they even mention Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
Let's start at.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So,
any idiot who likes wine seems to watch that movie a couple of times.
Yeah. There's no doubt that movie had a major influence on our area.
For Pinot, my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and in a shameful way with Merlot because, there's some awfully good Merlot out there, mention major ones, obviously. But
yeah, I find that was unfortunately the downside of it. The upside was clearly that Santa Barbara County, I think, was a jewel that had been largely undiscovered. And so it provided a bit of a catalyst. And I think similarly with Pinot Noir, I think for a lot of people, they just did not realize how many, really impressive Pinot Noirs were out there. And it gave them something, to it was a bit of a kick to go out and look for some of these wines.
All it takes is that little lead. Again, it's kind of like the Robert Mondavi philosophy of, spreading the word, spreading the gospel. And that way the movie did that very successfully, let alone the labels you saw later like Sea Smoke, that sort of thing.
Indeed.
That made a big difference.
Yeah. One thing I've got, I actually met the author Rex Pickett a couple times of Sideways, and I think when he before he made the movie, he really, or sorry, before he wrote the book and then screenplay, he really didn't know that much about wine. I mean, it was just he came up to the area and he learned a lot.
Sure.
But it was more of sort of just a backdrop. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of, I mean, you're shooting in vineyards, for God's sake. How hard is that going to be? It's kind of like going to heaven and shooting. You know what I mean? You're going to find the best places to shoot, right?
Yeah, indeed. It's fun being a local now, sort of seeing some of the little areas that they filmed and just little, you know, some are just really small pieces of the area, but you recognize exactly where they shot certain scenes.
So is this your first trip to Milwaukee, first time you've been through
here? It's my second trip. It's been a while. I was here some years ago. Before my time with Sanford, actually.
What are you seeing in this market? I mean, you're talking, this is kind of the heart of the Midwest and very much obviously a beer drinking town, but you can see, I'm sure, that wine is getting a great footing here.
Absolutely. I mean, what I see is, you know, you've got this, town with great history and a booming restaurant scene. So I think, you know, you've got craft cocktails, microbrews, you know, interesting wines from around the country paired with, you know, local food and, you know, farm to table or farm to fork. I mean, that seems like it's a great trend throughout the country, and it seems like it's absolutely taken hold here.
Yeah, I think in a way, Milwaukee has sort of a little bit of, not totally, but a little Portlandy feel to it in some ways in little groups, especially because of younger people really bringing that to this town that's known for being a bit older.
Yeah, so I mean, I just got in late last night, so I haven't had certainly enough time to get a great impression, but it's been favorable so far.
Are you doing a wine dinner tonight at all? Or?
I'm doing a consumer event at a country club and a wine dinner tomorrow night.
Brings me back to a question I wanted to get to before is, what is your output? How many cases are you guys doing?
We've been consistently, for everything all in, around 30,000 cases.
Okay, so you're still small.
Yeah, we are very small. We actually sell a fair amount of fruit. So, you know, we really like to focus and make sure that, you know, every bottle that has Sanford winery on it, we're very proud of. So, you know, we're pretty consistent. And every vintage is a bit different, but I think, you know, there's some characteristics of Sanford wine that sort of span the vintages.
Great. Well, and that's what it's supposed to be, really. I mean, there should be a little bit of a difference at least, so representing the year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me, we have a Pinot here in our glasses.
We do. This is our 2009 Santa Rita Hills Pinot Noir. So this is a blend of the two vineyards. It's about 75% from the Rinconada Vineyard. And about 25% Sanford and Benedict. So the old vines from 71, Rinconada, again, planted in 97. To me, it's a very classic Santa Rita. There's lots of black fruit, black cherry, kind of a cola, spicy note to it. Santa Rita Hills Pinot, besides the depth of the fruit and the spice, I think always has this sort of brooding characteristic. Cool climate, so there's always high acid. But I think for Pinot Noir, there's also pretty firm tannin structure. I mean, Pinot is one of those grapes that, depending, you know, where it's grown, can be everything from a very, very light, fruity, incredibly delicate wine to something with more structure. I mean, to me, it always should be elegant, but it goes from elegant, you know, with some edge to, you know, elegant, soft, and, you know, without that, and very, very generous. So Santa Rita tends to have this kind of core and this structure, which makes them very age-worthy, but also makes them, I think, very food-friendly, especially with the acidity. Yeah, to me, the most important thing with Pinot Noir grown anywhere in the world is it really has to be a genuinely cool, if not cold, climate. And I think what we've learned over the years is what we think in the wine world as what we used to think of as cool, a cold climate now is not so much. You know, areas that in the past were considered cool climate, they, you know, they're now growing Cabernet Sauvignon and certainly Merlot and lots of Syrah. And the, you know, with areas that were forced to replant like Napa and Sonoma with phylloxera in the late 80s, you know, it gave them an opportunity to rethink what grows best where. And, you know, the Pinot Noir and the Chardonnay has moved out to the very cool coastal climates. And it's sort of the same with the Santa Rita Hills. You know, again, with Sanford and Benedict, that original planting seemed absolutely nuts to people, and it was just way too cold. Whereas now, you know, it's right in the center of the Appalachian.
Well, you learn as time goes on, especially, again, this is New World wine, so there's going to be this curve, right?
Absolutely. In our area, you know, we get this amazing growing season because it's southern half of the state, early bud break because we have a mild winter, but then a very cool growing season. So a warm day for us is, you know, 75 degrees. So we'll see, you know, we get bud break in the second week of March and we'll still be picking in the third week of October. So it's a really long growing season.
And a long harvest too, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's typically 5-6 weeks. You know, with the two varieties at least, it's
sure.
somewhat condensed, but we have enough variation across the two vineyards that fortunately there's at least a little bit of a spread.
Well, you don't sound like you miss your time in Napa. It sounds like you're pretty happy where you're at.
Oh, absolutely. Napa was great. I certainly miss people. I miss some things about Napa. There's just a plethora of great restaurants and more all the time. But all else equal, I really prefer Santa Barbara. It's absolutely laid back. It's an interesting county because the South Coast, right on the ocean, you know, it's very much of a sort of a beach community. There's a lot of great outdoor sports, which I like to ride a bicycle. I love to run. I hike. I surf. I like to be outside. And then wine country is fantastic. But again, it's not as dense or as, again, it doesn't have the monoculture. But I think it's also, you know, people are still basically farmers. And we just happen to grow and make wine. But there still has very much that sort of agricultural attitude.
Is there, you know, obviously with the agricultural preserve in Napa, has there been any efforts in Santa Barbara to try and create anything similar to protect that land from becoming massive subdevelopments by people from other states?
There isn't anything exactly in place like the Napa Ag Preserve. In some ways, we have it by default, at least politically, over the last several decades, where. You know, there's generally a sort of a no growth or slow growth belief that the Board of Supervisors and the county has had for some time. But there's definitely a difference between the north half of the county, which is sort of dominated by Santa Maria, is the largest town and agricultural areas surrounded. And the San Ynez Valley, which Santa Rita Hills is the western part, is kind of right in the middle. And then the south coast of Santa Barbara and Goleta and Montecito, those areas are, you know, basically stagnant. They're just not growing. There's no new development and there's very much a no growth sort of attitude. Along the coastline, it's been protected very much so. I mean, we've got 30 miles of uninterrupted coastline with no development that hopefully will stay undeveloped. But in much of the agricultural area and the interrural area, which is an interesting region with a kind of between some of the towns with a lot of 5-10 acre parcels that I think is subject to development. It's just so far it has, you know, it's no one's gotten anything approved. But long term, I really hope that we come up with something like Napa. I think it has absolutely preserved it. You know, in the case of Napa, it's preserved it for really one thing, vineyards. Right. But I would like to see all of ours preserved for various agriculture.
Sure, because you have so much going on there. I think that's a great thing. I hope that works out down the road. Are you distributed widely around the country?
We are. We are, again, we're not a large winery by any stretch, but because we've been around for some decades, you know, we are in all the major markets. You know, our biggest market is California because it's our backyard, but we are in certainly all major markets.
Great. And if our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about you or about Sanford Winery in general on the web, how would they do that?
Our website, sanfordwinery.com, has quite a bit about us, what we're doing, and some resources as to how to find us.
Great. This has been a real pleasure on a Tuesday afternoon, which is a treat for me, to be able to sit here and talk to a winemaker. I really appreciate it, Steve.
No, I enjoyed it myself, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you. Learn more about Steve at sanfordwinery.com. Thank you for listening, and watch for our 100th podcast coming up this month. Cheers. Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Our intern is Steve Lance. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2013.